Our Father, we realize again, as a believer in Christ, and as believers together assembled, how privileged we are. For thy word tells us of our priesthood and our royal ambassadorship. We thank thee for thy word and the fact that we can study it this evening. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten us, opening our minds and our understanding to these things, as we see the greatest power that's available to us in prayer, for we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Last night, for those of you that weren't here, we concluded our study of priesthood, and those of you that missed it probably missed the best lesson altogether. No, it was just simply a wrap-up. We decided to shut down the study, not because that I felt that you were bored or that I was bored, but it was it was a lengthy study, and we have been covering it for quite a while, and it's going to appear again because it's going to come up in many, many passages in the book of Hebrews. But tonight we want to get to, as I said earlier in prayer, the greatest privilege that we have, and that is going directly to the Father based on our position as members of the royal family, and obviously with our high priest representing us and interceding for us. Verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 4. The writer is actually continuing with what he has been previously saying. Let us therefore, and the therefore is the reflection of verses 14 and 15. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, boldly means that we can approach at any time. God does not keep office hours. He doesn't say, I'm in a far-off country. The only time he doesn't hear us is when we're out of fellowship. And the only thing he will hear when we're out of fellowship is obviously confession of that sin. I thought at this point we would review some of the principles of prayer, and for some it may be a whole new experience. So with that, the doctrine of prayer. And from time to time, some of you have asked me questions, and I knew that the study was coming up, and I gave you short answers. This will explain a lot more. There are those, for example, and I know at Westside we have them, who have a phenomenal prayer ministry. Not all believers have prayer ministries. They have the right to pray, and obviously they do. But it isn't like one who has a prayer ministry. This person keeps a list. They are not nosy about asking you questions, but when they hear anything that they know they should be praying about, they do, and we see results. It's obvious that not all have prayer ministries because, well, take the ladies' prayer group. There are a few that come to that. Take the men's prayer group. There are a few that come to that. Obviously, they count it a privilege to assemble themselves together. I'm never disappointed when I hear that the whole church didn't turn out for a prayer meeting. You have to have a ministry for that. Just like a person, for example, who has the ministry of evangelism or is gifted as an evangelist. There is certainly, in my mind, a gift called prayer. Now, that in no way should be confused with the fact that since you don't have the gift, you shouldn't pray. First of all, and by way of introduction, we should understand that prayer is simply talking to God. And I was guilty in the past, and I've tried to overcome it, when people would ask me to pray about something, and I would say I would, and as the course of the day went on, I forgot. And then the next day they came praising God because that which I was supposed to have prayed about came to pass, and I was too, well, embarrassed to say to them, I didn't even pray about it, so don't thank me. So what I do now, and it's a practice that I've tried to do, is whenever anybody asks me to pray about something, I try to find a place immediately to do so. Just if it's just, at least I can say, I did. So Confessions of PJM, you should understand that that's what happens. If someone asks you to pray about something, don't say you're going to and then forget. Or if you're the type and you are easily mindless, write it down. Ask them specifically. Now, I've never been one for the term unspoken request. I don't like it. First of all, I don't even understand it. And I can remember when I was in the Baptist church, we used to have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, and people would get up and they'd give their prayer requests. And then you'd always have two or three that would say, unspoken request. All right? How can you pray about something that's unspoken? You say, and that one who has the unspoken request, yeah. So make it clear. If you don't want others to know about it, don't say anything about it. Pray about it yourself. Another thing by way of introduction, God is not really impressed if we gang up on him. You know, if we get 60 people praying about the same thing. When you're in prayer meeting, I might add, there's no virtue in your remembering every single prayer request and running the gamut so that everybody just kind of stands around and either repeats what you've said or has nothing to pray about because all the requests were taken care of by one person. Be appreciative. Spread it out. In fact, if you have prayer leaders, which is a good thing to have, you might say, would you pray about this? Would you pray about this? Would you pray about this? Would you pray about that? If you have somebody that has never audibly prayed, don't call on them. It can be embarrassing to some. Some just don't pray audibly. They do a marvelous job silently, and God doesn't have to hear words. It helps for us, but see, when we're praying to him. Secondly, never preach with your eyes closed. Make sure that prayer is horizontal, not vertical, and not horizontal. We had a deacon in our last church. He loved to pray horizontally. He closed his eyes, and he'd start picking on people at prayer meeting. It was rather Pharisaical. Don't use a peculiar prayer voice. You know, like sometimes a man who has, say, a deeper voice, or when he speaks clearly and enunciates. There's no virtue in your assuming some soft-spoken, high-pitch posture. We had a man many years ago, it's probably 40 now, and I was teaching on prayer, and he was in the class, and I purposely picked on him because I knew he had a peculiar, particular prayer voice. He did what a lot do. He repeated the word Lord, almost like a hiccup. Instead of taking a breath, he'd say, Lord. Then he'd sing. But it wasn't singing as you and I know it. He'd start off, our Heavenly Father, and it just went on and on like that. But when you spoke to him, he never did that. The only time he did it is when he was praying. And so I spoke on that particular issue. I was teaching the class, and I said, don't use a peculiar, special prayer voice. God is not impressed with it. Probably doesn't hear it anyway, because you have an intercessor who's praying on your behalf. Probably changes a lot of what you've said anyhow, so that it's fit. In any event, I asked him to close in prayer. And so he stood, And he started, "Our Heavenly Father, what's the matter with it?" Never got the point at all. Never got it at all. Another by way of introduction, public praying should be short. Private praying, take as long as you want. Now, you've probably heard of churches where they have what they call a prayer clock. And they'll pray about a particular thing. I'm not impressed with that either. They'll ask, for example, people to sign in from, lack of a better idea, from 12 to 12:30. And so Jenny Jane will sign her name from 12 to 12:30. Who will take from 12:30 to 1? And you get people who are night owls, and so midnight to 12:30, 1 a.m., 2 p.m., and then they're so proud of the fact that the church prayed the entire night through. I don't see it. Sorry. I do see things like the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right, definition and description. Prayer is the function of the royal family, whereby the church age believer has access and privilege to present two categories of requests to God the Father. All prayer is going to fall into two particular areas. One, petitions, and that's praying for yourself. And of course, petition would include thanksgiving, obviously. Petition is not always just asking. Put yourself, for example, in the Father's position and thinking for just a minute. Let's say you have children, and you are a father. And the only time your children talk to you is when they want something from you. Need I say more? Would you imagine that God wants to converse? Quite honestly, it's a one-way conversation. It's you to him. We don't expect an answer that is audible. If you happen to hear voices, you need help. The second is intercessory prayer. And that is when you pray for others. I would say that it takes a while for young believers to go from petition to intercession. Intercessory prayer is where you, for example, find out about a circumstance, a situation, and you take it to the Father. You say, well, how many times should I pray about a thing? Well, let me ask you that question. Is once sufficient? Did God hear it? Does he have to hear it again? Does he forget, so you have to keep telling him? Why do we do it then? Well, there are many reasons. One, for personal importunity. That we have revealed in God's word. In other words, do you really mean what you're asking? Do you desire that? Or is it just something that... When you're praying on behalf of others, well, let's get back to praying on behalf of ourselves. We get ill. We pray about it. Now, suppose there's no answer. We're going to find, by the way, there are actually answers. All prayers answered. I've never uttered a prayer that wasn't answered. Unfortunately, it was never answered, not never, but usually, I'll back up there, sometimes it's answered in a way other than the way I would want it to be. Here's what the Lord does. He says, no. It never happens. Secondly, be patient. Wait a while. And sometimes the answer is on its way, even as you're praying. Secondly, your prayer for others becomes a ministry. I've heard people say, well, I'm just too old and feeble to have a ministry. I know you're not. As long as you have breath, you can pray. And you can take up the slack in many areas, or the lack in many areas, by praying for others. That's why we have the directory. The directory is far more than just phone numbers. And I know some of you don't have the directories. And the reason I know that is because you call me or my wife to get somebody's number. And I've repeatedly said this. I do not work for Western Bell or whatever the name of the phone company is here. People have actually called me on the phone. Hey, do you have so-and-so's number? Dial 411 or whatever he's supposed to dial.
Well, that costs 50 cents.
Oh, but bother me. Pastor telephone directory, parentheses. No, get your own directory. Now, I have had some of you call. You're on a cell phone. You don't happen to have your directory with you. You're on the road and you've got to get in touch with. That's different. I'm not unreasonable. I've actually had people call me and hope that my wife would answer the phone. Is your wife at home? Yeah. Then I see her go over to the directory. Wouldn't ask me. Don't want to hear your illustration. I love the way some of you do what you do because I need illustrations. Your prayer for others becomes a ministry. You start with A. That's the way the book starts. It's alphabetized. And then remember where you left off, and you might even want to put the date down that you prayed about that person. You say, well, suppose I don't know who that person is. Well, why don't you find out? If they're in the directory, they're there for a reason. Now, some of them, you'll notice that the addresses are out of state. It's obvious that they are either connected with or have been connected with Westside Bible. When you come across Larry Hoffman, for example, it says Tama, Iowa. Well, some of you don't know Larry Hoffman, but you know he's a pastor of a church. And if anyone needs prayer, it's the pastor of a church. Start with me. Daily. Don't you realize... What was that? He's going to start now?
More than that.
Okay. But don't you realize that the attack always comes to the leadership first? You get the leader, you got the group. Then after you've through praying for me for a few hours, then start with the chairman of the board of deacons. And then go down the board to each deacon. So I don't even know who our deacons are. Find out. They're in the directory. Now, the current directory does not have our two new board members. But you should know that Les Manser and Dave Engel are now deacons as of January 1. Pray for them. I've never heard this. I hope I never hear it. I don't have anything to pray about. We're told to pray for our nation. It's in trouble. Pray for the White House and the guy that's in it. I know what some of you will do. You'll pray that whoever's ever in it would get out of it. That's all right. That'll help. Put this in your notes. If you pray a lot about yourself, you lack understanding in the application of the problem-solving devices. That's right. Because you see, a believer who not only knows them, understands them, and uses them, doesn't do a lot of praying for himself as far as petition is concerned. Why? Because he's applying God's word. You say, are there any models from which we can gather? Yes, the Psalms. Now, you don't have to pray the Psalms. We had a man here years ago, he thought that confession of sin was quoting 1 John 1:9. I said, don't quote it, use it. Sometimes people get this mystical idea that if you quote a verse, that's the same as applying it in your life. No. But look at the Psalms. We had a woman in our last church, she was highly insulted when the chaplain of the hospital, she was in the hospital for cancer treatment, and he said, may I pray with you? And she said, okay. And he prayed the 23rd Psalm. And in her mind, she was dying. Okay? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. She says, he terrified me. I needed something like the Lord is my strength and my rock and so on. Be careful. You see, failure to utilize your royal priesthood position means you do a lot of praying for yourself. And if you do a lot of praying for yourself, I can assure you, you're not doing much praying for others. Three, the study will deal only with the believer's devout supplication to God the Father. And obviously, we're going to omit any references to praying to angels, saints, idols, or cows. I thought you'd get some humor out of that. In other words, we're going to cover what God's Word has to say about prayer, not what it doesn't say. Four, as a part of equal privilege of election, the church age believer is a royal priest. And therefore, under equal privilege and opportunity, he can have an effective ministry in prayer. See, this is one of those service gifts or service ministries that often is not seen. And often, quite frankly, may not even be appreciated by others. In other words, let's say you have a prayer ministry. Let's say you go down the line. And to your own personal satisfaction, that's what's great about it. You hear about a circumstance, you pray about that circumstance, you see God working and remedying that circumstance, you know you've prayed about it, you've been a part of it. You don't have to go to the person and say to them, oh, by the way, I saw this and heard that and knew that and I did this and I prayed. No. Silent. In fact, I think I told you this before. I know I did. We had a situation at our last church where we were in dire need of a particular sum of money. And we had to have it before Monday. It was a situation where if we didn't, there were going to be some pretty rough consequences. And so on Sunday morning, I met with the board, the two of us, three of us. And I said, men, we've got to pray about this. But I says, let's not let the congregation know. Kind of foolish about it as I look back on it now, but at least the Lord honored it. And so the three of us prayed about it. That evening, a man who very rarely came to Bible class was there. And the amount of money that he wrote out the check for was exactly the amount of money that we needed. That's the way it works. And so, you know, we high-fived each other and just, really? Now the rest of the church didn't know anything about it, see? It was silent, and the victory was ours. Now you say, well, why, as you look back on it now, should you have given the information to the congregation? Because the victory could have been theirs. When I tell you about situations to pray about, it's not because I want to gossip about people or things. It's not because I'm begging you for something. If I say we have a financial need, I want you to know about it. If I say that so-and-so is suffering from some rare thing, I want you to know about it. It's not informational. I could do that with a bulletin. Send it out and hand it all to you and say, by the way, did you know so-and-so is? If one of our ladies, for example, is having problems with a pregnancy, it's not my way of telling you that she's pregnant. It's my way of telling you to pray because she's having problems with that pregnancy. The greatest tool that we have is prayer. And by the way, you notice something about it? It doesn't take much effort. If you can think, you can pray. And you can be anywhere when you do it. You could be standing there doing your dishes. Apparently, Horton, he doesn't boldly, he goes to the throne of grace. And he says, every time I look over at the toilet paper, so you know what he's doing, he says, I pray for you. Because we had a thing about which way the toilet paper should be on the roll. The argument is, you know, some over the top, some underneath. I'm convinced it should be underneath, but that's just the way I do it. And Dan Hill and I have a standing war going. I go to his house and change every one of his toilet rolls. He comes to our house and changes them all back the way he wants them. The other day I made a grave mistake in our paper dispenser. I put it on backwards. It was going over the top. I said, Maybe you don't have that problem, but when I do it that way, if I try to rip it off, I tear off about 15 sheets. And or in the bathroom, I'm covered with paper. And I didn't intend to do anything with that paper, at least that amount. The other way to me is just, that's it. Okay? So apparently he thought about it. He said, you straighten me out about it. And he is now convinced that, but I did give him an eagle. And so I said, now maybe you can think of me when you look at the eagle. And that way you can pray when you see the eagle, rather than the other posture you're assuming. Does God care? Does he look down at Horton and say, what are you doing? No. No. You can pray with your eyes open. Sometimes you should when you're driving. May I say this about public prayer, by the way? You don't have to publicly pray when you eat your meal. This clinking the glass and standing up and demanding everybody be quiet so that you can lead in prayer is sheer nonsense. That's hypocrisy. That's what that is. That's Phariseeism. You might as well ring a bell. Now, I must confess, we were in a restaurant, these deacons and I, we're on our way to a pastor's conference in the East Coast, and we stopped at a restaurant. We gave our order. The waitress left. I said, we might as well pray about this now while she's gone. And so we bowed our heads, and we were praying. And all of a sudden she whacked me. And she said, by the way, I didn't get part of the order. And so I said, well, we were praying. And she said, oh, I thought you were sleeping. Say, she hit me. Say. An old Bible school joke, when you pray in public, it is not the time for you to stroke your eyebrow. You know, this, you bow your head and you go, so no one sees you. Hey, when I first became a believer at lunch breaks, I used to read my Bible. But my Bible was in a Life magazine. That's right. Somebody says, hey, what are you reading? I showed him. I was embarrassed. Okay? Say, how'd you get over that? I just quit reading my Bible. An effective ministry. You want an effective ministry? You say, well, I don't teach. It's fine. I haven't written a book. Neither have I. I don't work with young people. It's obvious no one here wants to work with third and fourth graders. But you can pray. Exactly. You can pray for a third and fourth grade person that wants to teach that class. When was the last time you prayed for our attendance? You know that there are churches in this valley that don't want to grow? There are categorical churches throughout the country. They want to stay small and quaint. I want us to grow. Why? The word will get out to the many, to the more than many. See? There are a lot of people that are hungry for doctrine. They don't know it. There are a lot of people that are hungry for doctrine and don't know where to go. We had a man for 8 years live right around the corner, didn't even know this church existed. And when he found out, his business shipped him out somewhere. 8 years. So I'm hungry for the word. A lot of people are hungry for the word and they're starving in these churches. Kurt and I figured it out. It's a simple way of figuring things out. We decided that all the pastors that never heard of Spiros Zodiatus probably don't teach the word. And he says, you'd be surprised how many have never heard of him. But anybody that teaches the word on a regular basis has come across something that he's written. I would venture to say there's at least 2-3 Bibles that have his signature in it. Matter of fact, Bob Rice just bought one. Apparently, John Hentz uses the NIV, and Zodiatus came out with the NIV edition. That's the New International Version. Is that what that is? I said, well, I've got the old King James, Spiros Zodiatus. Some of you have the New American Standard, Spiros Zodiatus, with his footnotes. He's an incredible man, and he's getting old. But he's not getting tired. Had a stroke, couldn't keep him down. Went along, back at it again. I told you what he said to me the last time I talked with him. So I'm in the process of exegeting the entire Word of God. All right. Well, good for you. We'll pray about it. You want an effective, invisible service ministry? Prayer. Point five. God the Father receives our prayer through the person of Jesus Christ, provided the believer is filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's the order that should never, ever be altered. This praying to the Holy Spirit is blasphemous. There's nothing in Scripture to indicate it. And you'll hear people who should know better on television, on radio, and they'll say, Lord Jesus, da-da-da-da-da, and they start in praying. And then how do they close it? We ask in Jesus' name. How redundant can you get? How about this one? Father, we're so grateful that you went to the cross and died for our sins. You got your persons mixed up. The Father did not go to the cross. Now, I've heard it. Now, of course, there's all that ridiculous stuff that claiming the blood and praying to the baby Jesus, you know. What is that? In fact, our Lord made it very clear, in that day, after his departure, you shall ask me nothing, but whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will be done. That's the order, and it's been the order since. Paul makes it clear, praying unto the Father in the power of the Spirit, in the name of the Son. We had a deacon here years ago. He didn't refuse. He just never prayed in Jesus' name. And so I jumped on him. Not literally, of course. First, I tried to instruct him from the pulpit. Didn't take that. And you'll always tell when they didn't get it because you asked that person to close in prayer. By the way, you teachers, if you have a problem with one of your kids, have them pray. That'll shut them up. Seriously. Say, little Johnny, would you lead us in prayer? You got friends you don't like? Pray a lot in their presence. No, I'm only kidding. But it is a proven fact that when you call upon a troublemaker, often that changes them. They can't remain in that giggly, stupid attitude that some of our kids have. You know what I'm talking about, you teachers. They start in, you know, and one starts the other, and the other one starts. You may just start with a little shove, and then the other one shoves back. And every time your back is turned, you hear this business. My kids used to do that, and I said, enough of the tee-hees. Point six. Prayer is communication with God for the expression of personal needs and the function of intercession for others. Seven, prayer is a weapon and is meant to be used offensively, not defensively. Just as it's ludicrous for someone to blame God for something that happens in society, you have others who pray something like this. There are two prayers that just absolutely infuriate me, and the one is, oh God, help, as if he isn't. as believers constantly attending to our needs. And the other is be with us as we travel down the journeys of life. He can't cease but to be with us. In fact, he is far more than with us. He's in us. To me, that becomes so impersonal. Or be with the circumstance that this person has decided that they're going to do without even questioning whether or not God's will is involved. Then there's another one. If it be thy will, let me do this. Well, if it isn't his will, you're not going to do it. See, that's kind of demonstrative, don't you think? It demonstrates the stupidity of a believer. Be with us when he can't cease to be, but bless this, whatever it is you want him to bless. He's not going to bless it. Your asking is not going to help. You should know, for example, if you are traveling, that that is God's will. You should have determined that long before, if you're going to make a move from one place to the other. Don't ask God to bless when you get there. Find out before you leave. And the one thing you better find out, if you're going to be changing your geography, if there's a categorical church in that area where you can learn God's word. We've had people that purposely visited here first before they made their move. They wanted to know if I was the man for them. And then they made their move. Some didn't. They went elsewhere. They had choices, for example. But we've had people leave here and go elsewhere, not even considering the fact that there wasn't a church within 150 to 200 miles where they could learn. They didn't want to go on tapes. So you know what they did? They called me and asked me if I'd send Dan Hill up there. I said, well, are you prepared to support him? Well, no. Well, what's he going to live on? Shoe leather? Boiled laces? Well, he can work. Oh. Is that bold? Arrogant? Demanding? And they wanted me to send him, as if I had control over his life. I was the type of person, by the way, before I went to the ministry, that if I had work that interfered with my learning the Word of God, I got another job. Simple enough. And the Lord always honored it. You don't think that the job you have that interferes with your learning God's word is the only job in existence, do you? But I often find the people that have work that interfere with their learning don't want to come to class anyway. Because if they did, they get a job that would fit the need. Is God able? Sure. Does he want you to be in class? Absolutely. Will he provide? Of course he will. I've had people that made decisions within the last month. They had an opportunity to go elsewhere for an increase in salary. They prayed about it. They found out that where they were going to go, there was no place to learn God's word. And they said, I'm going to stay here. You know what happened within a week? They got an increase in salary. Where they were working made more than they would have if they had left. That's the way God works. We get panicky. And we use prayer as a panic button. God help me. Now, if you're in an airplane and they've just announced that you've had it, that's when dying grace clicks in real fast. Prayer is a weapon. And yet you'll notice nothing in the hands because it's mental transfer. By the way, some praying should be done inaudibly. You know who's listening. Think about it. He can't read your mind. Only God can. But if you pray about something, he'll do everything to frustrate it. I have known believers that actually admitted to me that they were praying about something that eventually they found out was contrary to the will of God, and it came to pass because you know who knew that it would be a distraction to them. He can work out a circumstance. Why? Because you prayed about it. For the longest time there, I still do it. I study one thing and teach something else. He's looking over my shoulder. Oh, you're going to be teaching that tonight? All right, let me see who I can knock down so they're not in Bible class tonight, because that would help them. So I play games. Strategy. We're in a war, folks. It's a diversion. I used to announce everything I was going to teach the next day. And I wondered why the crowds got smaller and smaller and smaller, so I quit announcing. I don't know why I thought I was preparing the people for what we were going to have to, and, you know, try to get their interest up. But instead, I found out the adversary was out there knocking the pins off from under them. Because that's exactly what they needed. If you're going to pray about an unsaved person in a circumstance where you're going to meet with that unsaved person, don't pray audibly. They'll never be there. They'll call you and say, "Sorry, I can't make it." One of my kids is sick, or something happened, the washing machine flooded over. Don't you think he has the power to change circumstances? Certainly he does. I'll never forget the time somebody gave me a tape on demon possession. I will not give that tape out. Very poor quality. It wasn't recorded on a bad machine. I went through 3 tape recorders before I could get to listen to it. Something mysterious would happen to the tape recorder. Nothing wrong with the tape recorders. I put one on and it didn't even work. The wheels just, it was reel to reel. Finally, the last one, it would work, but the take-up reel quit working. So the tape was kind of running off onto the ground. So there I was, manually putting it on so I could hear it. And when I heard the content, I knew why. It was actual accounts of demon-possessed people being recorded. Frightening. By the way, I put other tapes on those 3 recorders, and they worked perfectly. Feel that back air? Yeah, we have an unseen enemy. But we have the weapon. Dr. McGee used to say, there are many things the demon do when believers are active, but the one thing that causes them to shake in their boots is when a believer closes his eyes in prayer because they don't know what's coming out. Point 8, prayer is thought. And as with thought, it requires vocabulary, thinking, doctrine, and concentration. And that's why prayer should be brief, because it indicates concentration. Now, tonight we're going to admit something. You're going to admit it to yourself as I admit it to myself, and I have repeatedly, and I'll tell you what happens to me often. I have found that if I'm in bed, and I go on, and I begin to pray, goodbye. See? Sit by your bed. They said, do I have to assume a posture? No. There's no posture spoken of in God's word. I wish I'd have been there when this yo-yo tried to get people to raise their hands and pray like this. I'd have him raise his hand. It wouldn't be because of prayer, though. Put them up. Be another weapon. I'm going to say, oh, you're not praying unless you're on your knees. There are some people that can't get on their knees. And there are other people, if they get on their knees, they're going to need a crane to get up. So what does that mean? Only young people can pray because they can get on their knees and get up, but old people can't? We've got people here at Westside I know can't get on their knees. Call them on the phone and say, what's your husband doing? He's trying to get up. Some people say you have to have your eyes closed. The Bible talks about lifting up holy hands, but these are figurative concepts. The idea of their holy hands, what does that indicate? Not a physical raising of the hands. Holy hands in the sense of cleansed, sanctified. You notice how much these get involved in? You can't do very much in life without them. The Jews even knew that. They didn't cut the hands off as a result of battle. No. They cut off four digits. The two big toes and the thumbs. Why? Because a person would never hold a sword again. You can't go into battle with a sword clenched between four fingers. You've got to wrap it around, right? Why the great toes? It's the balance toe. Can't walk without them. You'd be stumbling all over the place. So they knew if they saw a guy without hands, he lost the battle, or rather thumbs. Quite interesting the way our hands are made, by the way. When the Bible says that we are marvelously and phenomenally made, the writer knew what he was talking about. That's why I have a problem if I go to a doctor and he's the type that thinks I'm going to live forever, or he believes that I once was some kind of amoeba that crawled out onto the sea. I got a problem with that. I want somebody to admit to me that I'm a creation of God. There are doctors that do that, by the way. I don't see how they could possibly examine the human body and the intricacies. Take the eye by itself. Its ability to focus, its ability to see depth, its ability to see color, the ability. It's so numerous, and that's just one little part of us. Yeah, you see, prayer is thought. It requires vocabulary, doctrine, concentration. You know, there's one thing that God loves to hear, His word. Now, I've had people pray, you've said in your word, and we're going to hold you to it. Oh, really? Put your hands over your head, head between your knees. The boom is lowering. You don't demand from God, but He wants to hear His word. When was the last time you told the Father how much you loved His word? When was the last time you told yourself how much you loved His word? I tell you what, if you don't love His word, you're not going to tell Him so. When was the last time you told Him that you loved Him? I don't think the day goes by I don't tell my wife I love her. And it's not a hiccup. You know, with a lot of minutes, love you, hon. And then she says to herself, what does he want now? Thing. And you have an intent, and that's why you said that. I must have hit some nerves there. Brief prayer indicates concentration. Get in a position to where you're not going to fall asleep. Two ways that you can fall asleep when you have trouble sleeping. Start to pray or start reading the Word. Many a morning I found the book in my face. Or I'd slept with it. Under me, around me. That's why pages eventually started missing. My Bible became very dispensational. Well, that's page one of prayer. You want model prayers? Matthew 6, Ephesians 1:17, Ephesians 3:14, 1 Peter 1:17. Next time we'll see more about the subject. We've got quite a bit to cover, so this is not going to be over in a night. By the time we get through, though, if nothing else, I hope you do it. You start praying more effectually. Maybe for some of you, you've never even had the privilege of, you've prayed, but it's never really been to where you see effect. Quit praying for yourself and pray for others. Silent weapon. Father, we're grateful that we have access to Thee and we can approach Thee boldly because of that way made open to us by our high priest. Dismiss us now, we ask, in Christ's name. Amen.